Mrs. Pinto, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I take it you got my report?
I did get it. I have it in front of me.
Okay. You have, in my opinion, a low-grade type of duct carcinoma in situ.
Right.
Defined in the Van Nuys classification. That means that even though you're at risk, it may take a long time for a recurrence to exhibit itself.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, the mean interval in to recurrence with low-grade lesions, if you have inadequate margins, is something close to 9-10 years.
Okay.
120 months.
Right. With
In your case, we can't do anything about the grade, which is favorable. That's if you get a score of 1 for that.
Mm-hmm.
I've recalculated the size based on my evaluation of the material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was wondering about that.
So I'd say that you get a size of approximately 40 millimeters.
So that's 4 centimeters.
That's correct.
So when I met with the breast surgeon, she calculated at 3.3 based on the two surgeries. Are you taking into account?
Basically, what I'm taking is the largest size that I can calculate from any of your resections. I'm not adding up the sizes from the various resections.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, what is the largest size?
Oh, okay. I see.
And and of course your age, we can't do anything about. So the only thing that we can play with is the margins.
Mm-hmm.
You have actually very little residual disease in this last resection. It's all basically microscopic. But the margin width is still in the intermediate range.
Mm-hmm.
But your total score is 8.
Right.
And that means that with radiation therapy and with the margin width that you have, we could expect a 15% local recurrence rate after radiation at a mean 12 years of follow-up. Without a radiation therapy, the local recurrence rate would be at least double that, 30-35%. And the problem in your case is that your disease is not well marked by microcalcification or anything else. We're really, we're chasing our tail.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how successful an additional re-excision would be, but then I'm not a surgeon.
Right.
Generally, however, when the DCIS is not marked by microcalcification and isn't well seen by MRI, particularly after multiple procedures, you're not going to be, you have a high likelihood of getting an adequate re-excision by going back again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the realistic choices would be, certainly you could pursue another surgical resection. And your surgeon is who?
Dr. Kurtzals.
Okay. In New York, and that's in San Diego.
That's at Scripps in San Diego, yeah.
Yeah. As I see it, you have 3 choices. One, you could get another surgical opinion about possible re-excision.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you have an excellent individual. Matter of fact, probably the premier surgical oncologist for DCIS in the United States, just north of you.
Who's that?
That's Melvin Silverstein.
Okay.
He's at Hogue in Newport Beach.
Okay.
He was the Henrietta C. Lee Professor of Breast Oncology at USC for some 7 or 8 years, and then decided to move into a private practice setting.
Okay.
If you log on to the internet, PubMed.
Yeah, I've seen his name. Isn't he the co-developer of the Van Nuys Prognostic Index?
That's right. He's the primary force behind the Prognostic Index.
Okay, yes, I'm familiar with him, and I've done a lot of research myself, so I'm pretty well educated on DCIS. That's how I found you, from just Googling, and a woman by the name of Sandy Walters created a little website with a link to your site.
I didn't know that. I'm not very good at computers.
She shared your information. I'm sharing your information with other women who you're actually, Mary Jo Kenny, I think you're, she sent her pathology to you this week as well.
Oh, yes.
So she's my friend, really good friend's mom, and I've got a Facebook group, and I'm putting a lot of information out there and trying to help educate other women to not rush into, you know, drastic measures.
I was going to say, there's certainly no rush.
Right. Well, it's been 2 years I've been dealing with this and taking my own path, you know, trying to blaze the trail. And, you know, I think you're a big part of that in helping women that, you know, it took me 2 years to find you. So I plan to get the word out. I think what you're offering women is tremendous. I mean, it's just the peace of mind of having the unbiased second opinion. And, you know, this is well worth the money. So I'm very appreciative.
Well, thank you. In any case, in terms of what your choices are, fairly non-invasive process would be a second opinion with Silverstein.
Okay.
Your last surgery, as according to my records, was on the 17th of October.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think if we wanted to try to use MRI to locate any residual disease, it's probably going to take 3 months for your breast to heal.
Okay.
So that would be sometime in January. But nonetheless, you could contact his office.
Mm-hmm.
And see what he can offer.
Okay.
He not infrequently can do things that most of us who don't walk on water can't.
Mm-hmm.
So he may be able to offer you a re-excision. I'm not just trying to say that that's likely, but certainly it's something that would be reasonable to proceed with. My own take on this is something like when I taught my daughters to dive into the pool, and we started at the shallow end, and we slipped into the water holding our nose first before we went to a 3-foot board and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same fashion, that second opinion would preserve all your options.
Right. Okay.
And you would have more information from someone who really developed oncoplastic techniques, at least for this disease in the United States. That is the ability to do a resection without creating a cosmetic deformity.
Mm, okay, because my surgeon had said she wouldn't even do a re-excision because it would be too deforming.
Okay, well, then that's all the more reason for you to consider.
Right.
A visit with Silverstein, which is, what, an hour from you?
Right, yep.
Okay. So the second possibility is radiation therapy. And
scares me.
Radiation therapy, as I pointed out, will certainly reduce your local recurrence rate substantially.
Mm-hmm.
But it still leaves you with a very high possibility of local recurrence over time.
Mm-hmm.
And you are 46 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a long way to go.
Yep.
So I would use radiation therapy if I were you.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to conserve the breast, I would use that only if Silverstein told me that I wasn't a candidate for an oncoplastic additional resection, or it wouldn't be worthwhile doing an MRI in 3 months to see whether there's anything there.
Mm-hmm.
And the final step, of course, would be a skin-sparing mastectomy with reconstruction. Which would essentially reduce your likely local recurrence rate to under 2%.
Mm-hmm.
As you probably read, we don't always remove all the breast tissue when we do a mastectomy.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't really designed for that. And there is a possibility, although small, of a local recurrence post-mastectomy.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any idea about DCIS, the DCIS that becomes invasive, the chances or the percentage of that, if I left it alone?
Yeah, left alone, you're in a somewhat favorable situation in that low-grade DCIS takes a long time for any recurrence.
Mm-hmm.
Half of the recurrences, as in every other type of DCIS, are invasive disease, and half are non-invasive.
Right.
So for example, there was a very famous study done, most recently published by Sanders, which is one of David Page's fellows, that took an original group of 28 patients with low-grade DCIS detected only in biopsy. They didn't have any attempted excision. They just had a biopsy, which on retrospective review was found to be DCIS. It had been called benign. And in following these patients, basically, after 35 years, 40% of them developed a recurrence.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, these were patients who weren't followed carefully in any fashion. Mm-hmm. They weren't evaluated as we do things now. But nonetheless, if we're talking about a 40% recurrence rate at 35 years, we're talking about something in the order of 1.1% risk per year.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the data, half of the recurrences occurred after 15 years.
Hmm.
So, in contrast, patients who have higher grade DCIS are more likely to develop recurrence and also develop invasive recurrence. The
mm-hmm.
proportion remains the same. But, for example, patients who have intermediate grade DCIS, on average, if you have inadequate margins, the recurrences occur mean 87 months following the operative procedure. For high grade DCIS, it's 24 months.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big difference, particularly between high grade and the other two.
So I've already had a recurrence from the first time, but I did not go back and get the margin.
Well, I don't know if you've had a recurrence. I think that I would call that residual disease.
Because it from the mammograms that I had 8 months after the first surgery, they weren't showing. I mean, there was a big difference between the mammogram 8 months after and then 10 months later, something was growing. So is that considered residual disease? It just grew?
Well, if your first resection, from my records, is on the 12th of January 2010, correct?
That was the first, yeah.
That was the first attempt at lumpectomy.
It was a surgical biopsy, but it was
okay.
The same thing.
All right, and...
And then there was a positive margin that I did not go and re-excise. I just left it.
Right. But, considering the fact that we're talking about January 2010... to September of 2011,
mm-hmm.
I would consider that residual disease.
Okay.
Especially considering that you have low-grade disease.
Okay, so they've termed it intermediate grade. Is that...
My original classification was based on nuclear morphology. So if you had grade 1 nuclei, you were low grade, grade mm-hmm. 2 intermediate, grade 3 high grade.
Mm-hmm.
In the Van Nuys classification, if you have nuclear grade 1 or 2
mm-hmm.
And no necrosis,
mm-hmm.
you fall into the low grade category.
Okay.
So the necrosis is used to separate out those cases with nuclear grade 1 or 2
mm-hmm.
Into a low and intermediate grade. So I think they were referring to nuclear grade.
Okay. So is there any way to monitor this? Or what is the best way? They're always wanting me to do mammogram. I'm really concerned with if it's high grade, which I've read shows up better on MRI.
Well, with new MRI technology, that's sort of a thing of the past. The new software that's available for MRI generally can find low-grade DCIS.
Okay, because...
Obviously, you want to go to a facility that has that type of software.
Mm-hmm.
The MRI varies a great deal from facility to facility.
Right. And so?
For example, just off the top of my head, the program at Memorial Sloan Kettering in New York has outstanding ability to detect even low-grade DCIS, even lobular carcinoma in situ.
Really? Is there anything on the West Coast that you know of?
Yes, of course. There are several excellent facilities. Silverstein's MRI facility is not going to be second to any. But there's also a facility at the City of Hope that okay. has some significant experience with MRI.
Mm-hmm.
So I think MRI has to be, have you had an MRI?
Yeah, I actually requested an MRI prior to this last two surgeries, which showed, it was called suspicious. The mammogram said highly suspicious, so there was a concern that it had become invasive, and that's why I did the surgery. So I was actually happy that it had just remained the same level of DCIS.
Yeah, no, it is purely DCIS for sure.
And I'm wondering if I can continue with just doing MRI to determine if it's doing any, if it's looking anything different, rather than going in and.
You're going to need a new baseline because you just had surgery in October 17.
Uh-huh.
You're going to need a new baseline mammogram somewhere in 3 to 6 months to see what the breast looks like.
Uh-huh. And that can only be done with mammogram?
That'll be done with a mammogram, but at the same time, you'll have an MRI.
She said 6 months.
If you're planning on, you know, considering a re-excision. And that, I'm sure that's what Dr. Silverstein would would ask.
Well, I'm also wanting to try to avoid too many mammograms through this process. I think I've had
No, I understand.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to need the follow-up new baseline mammogram.
Okay. So yeah, the doctor was saying at 6 months recommended mammogram, and I was asking about MRI. She said you know I could probably get away with an MRI once, but not avoiding mammograms. So.
Yeah, I considering the amount of radiation you receive, a tenth of a gray for exposure. I don't think this should be. I mean, it's always a concern. When you receive any radiation, but this certainly is not a significant amount of radiation exposure. Right.
And you don't think by smashing the breast after all the turmoil that it's been through with everything with the DCIS that it can actually cause more harm?
Well, I think that after all the surgery you have, anyone who'd want to do a mammogram and mash down on your breast should be shot. Because I imagine it's still tender.
Right. Well, I waited 8 months the first time. It was still very.
Well, I think you need to wait until your breast is entirely healed, so that you yourself can press on your breast and not feel it painful or tender, and so on. It takes a substantial amount of time, particularly given the surgeries that you've had, for everything to heal up.
I have had some success with castor oil packs for a month. I did that, and that helped quite a bit. I'm doing that now.
Okay. I'm afraid I don't know much about castor oil packs.
Well, anyway, it's anecdotal. It helped me, so.
Then that's fine.
Yeah, okay. And Sandy, she had mentioned the rodeo MRI she had gone to Arkansas to see Dr. Harms, I believe his name is?
Yes,
that you had recommended?
Steve Harms. He's sort of the guru of MRI, and in particular for DCIS. He's in Fayetteville.
And so the other MRI technology, like say with Dr. Silverstein, is that in comparison, is it equivalent or is it?
It's equivalent, but if you wanted a local office that offered rodeo MRI, certainly the City of Hope has a rodeo MRI.
Okay, great. And that's in Los Angeles?
Yeah, City of Hope is in Orange County, I believe.
Okay, great. Yeah. And what about, you know, my sense is not to do radiation. Is that something that you can do later on if I change my mind?
The radiation oncologist will usually tell you that you have to have radiation within a certain period of time. But that requirement only pertains to invasive cancers, not DCIS.
Okay.
And for invasive cancers, you have anywhere from 11 to 14 weeks.
Okay.
During which that interval, there's no observable detriment in terms of local control with radiation on the breast cancer. But that does not pertain for DCIS.
Okay. Well, that's good. Okay. The other question I had was, in your report, it talked about lobular cancerization.
Yes.
What is another?
That's just an early phase of duct carcinoma in situ.
Okay.
Where the cells which develop inside the lobule, the terminal ductule, that's where DCIS begins. have not grown very much, and they produce minimal distension.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a subtle change.
Okay. And so
the significance is it has the same significance as DCIS.
Okay.
It's just an earlier phase.
And in your experience, have you seen people reduce DCIS, or is that something that
reduce DCIS?
Reduce it, or that like through MRI? I have a friend on Facebook who, through her MRIs, it's actually gotten smaller. Is that a possibility pathologically?
With treatment of some kind?
She's just doing alternative treatments.
Okay, certainly from one MRI to the other,
uh-huh.
You can have some variation depending, you know, even if the MRI is done by the same individual, the same software, the same facility.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I would be concerned in this story that you're telling me that perhaps the patient had an MRI at one facility and then mm-hmm. another.
Okay.
Because I'm unaware that once DCIS forms, that it'll disappear.
Okay.
That's certainly something that's been thought about for mm-hmm. some time, and there are examples in pathology where people have felt that there's been regression of DCIS, but mm-hmm. no one's been able to prove it yet.
Okay. Well, I know that that happens with cancer, with tumors, with, you know, actually invasive cancer. So.
It can, yes. With renal cell carcinoma is one of the classic examples of that.
Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of controversy around DCIS and invasive cancer. They're actually not doing the same things. That they're talking about taking the word carcinoma out of the title of DCIS.
Right. And, you know, there is support for that. Clearly, DCIS can be a precursor to invasive growth,
mm-hmm.
and untreated, depending on the size and the grade, it can become invasive in short order or after a long period of time. But clearly, as DCIS, it doesn't have any metastatic ability.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you chop it up surgically and leave it in the wound, it will not become invasive.
Hmm.
The cells don't spill out of the cut-through duct, for example, and then mm-hmm. are growing in the breast. It requires several mutations
mm-hmm.
of the cancer cell itself in the duct, the in situ duct cancer mm-hmm. cell, before it develops the ability to invade the breast.
Hmm. Yeah, so that's what's so confusing, because they say it can't spread, it can't become invasive, yet it's 50%. Of the people that have DCIS do have invasive cancer at some point.
Well, no. With treatment, the vast majority of patients with DCIS don't get invasive cancer.
Okay.
If you neglect DCIS, then even with low-grade lesions, if you wait long enough, 35 years, you'll have a very substantial recurrence rate.
Of DCIS, though, not invasive.
Oh, no, of invasive.
Okay.
Of invasive cancer. So
there is a correlation between the DCIS becoming invasive.
There is a correlation between the presence of DCIS and the much greater likelihood of exhibiting invasion at a later period of time, for sure.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough one.
Hmm. Yes.
Okay. What else? The surgeon, you know, also told me that she thought the margin that's close on my report, the 1.5 millimeters, she said that's actually not of that big a concern. She was saying that she would feel comfortable just with doing radiation, and she was talking about a 3-week shorter course of radiation.
There is a brachytherapeutic approaches, which, as a matter of fact, can be successful be completed within 5 days. But I think your surgeon may be accepting a much higher risk of recurrence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if many of surgeons will rely on the randomized trial publications.
Mm-hmm.
And these are studies in which no one measured the DCIS, measured the margin width, graded the DCIS, used specimen x-rays to determine whether all the tissue has been removed and so forth. Many times in B17, for example, the margin didn't even require to be inked.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, in the latest update of B17, which was published by Irene Wapner this year, the 15-year local recurrence rate without irradiation is 36%, and with radiation therapy, it's 20%.
Hmm.
So, a 20%, if you're going to rely on those studies, you're going to have to accept a very substantial rate of local recurrence, even with the radiation.
Right.
The unique aspect of the Van Nuys approach is that you actually stratify risk by measuring things,
mm-hmm.
by quantifying how big the tumor is, how big mm-hmm. the margin is, by grading the tumor and taking into account the patient's age.
Right. And is the age factor, is that due to the hormones, or what is that?
Well, not necessarily. Age per se, just young people in particular, such as yourself,
mm-hmm.
have a higher rate of recurrence of any kind of breast cancer. Doesn't matter whether it's DCIS or invasive duct cancer or invasive lobular cancer.
Mm-hmm. It's not to do with, because my surgeon was telling me it was about dealing with the onset of menstruation and the hormone factor.
No, DCIS actually has very little to do with hormones, period. It does bear receptor sites for estrogen and progesterone receptor very commonly,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean that estrogen and progesterone make it grow.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, that's very confusing. Most DCIS occurs in the period of time when women start to decrease the production of estrogen,
mm-hmm.
while their estrogen level is falling. That's true of all breast cancer.
Hmm. And is there anything you can do to help that?
There's no real association between the DCIS.
Mm.
And the hormone levels. That's why I do not recommend, for example, tamoxifen.
Uh-huh. I saw that.
Because it in the trials that have used tamoxifen, it hasn't been shown to be provide a significant benefit. It's sort of like, you know, those old tests at college where statement A and B are true but are
mm-hmm.
related.
Right.
So it's true, yes, DCIS does mm-hmm. contain estrogen receptor very commonly,
mm-hmm.
But it's not true that estrogen makes it grow.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. So that the fact that I'm the ER-PR positive doesn't...
It's a favorable feature because
okay.
your tumor is, you know, better differentiated.
Mm-hmm.
But... In terms of usefulness. There are two trials that had looked at the use of tamoxifen in patients who had DCIS.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was the UK ANZ trial, a trial in the United Kingdom, more than 1,000 patients. They randomized four ways to just surgery alone, surgery and tamoxifen, surgery and radiation, and surgery and tamoxifen and radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that tamoxifen provided no benefit at all in terms of local control.
Yeah, I think I've read that.
Yeah, so, this is...
Or something like that, yeah.
This is the UK ANZ trial.
Okay, yeah, the oncologist, Dr. Kroner, she also said she's not a big pusher of tamoxifen, and she was
fine. The other trial is the B24 study, which is one of the NSABP trials now with about, 10 years of follow-up. And it shows a very small benefit for preventing an invasive cancer in the treated breast with tamoxifen.
Mm-hmm.
That's something in the order of 1.7%.
Right. Hmm.
Interestingly, it provides no benefit for preventing an in situ cancer.
Hmm.
So something is very strange with that data.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So mm-hmm. Tamoxifen is not innocuous.
Mm-hmm.
In someone who's 46, for example, it may well precipitate an early menopause,
mm-hmm.
perhaps as much as 5 or 6 years earlier than you might otherwise go into menopause.
Right.
And of course, unlike natural menopause, which is somewhat gradual, drug-induced menopause is like jumping off a cliff.
Right. Yeah. Not for me. Not for me. Huh. Okay, well, I think that my first step is to call Dr. Silverstein.
Yeah, he has a clinical nurse,
mm-hmm.
Constance St. Albans. And you should speak to her.
Okay.
And if you are interested after you hear what she has to say and so on,
mm-hmm.
I believe he may also have a website. But if you wish, you can indicate to her that you're authorizing me to send them a copy of your report.
Okay.
Otherwise, I can't do that.
Okay.
They're the new HCPA rules.
Yeah, the report that you sent me?
Yes.
Okay.
Or you can send it to the yourself, obviously.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So according to your calculations, it would be a 4 to 6 that would be safe to forego radiation.
I'm sorry, was that what? Say again.
On the Van Nuys prognostic index, it's 4 to 6 that would be safe to forego radiation.
Yes.
And I'm at an 8.
And you're at 8.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, this is a tough one. All right. Well, I appreciate your evaluation.
Just review briefly.
Okay.
I would start with the second opinion.
Okay.
And I would certainly, given your location and your ability to travel an hour north, certainly I would start with Silverstein.
Yep.
Okay. If that doesn't work out, you have two options. Actually, you have three additional. You have three options. One is to do nothing, which I wouldn't recommend.
Mm-hmm.
A second one would be to receive the radiation therapy, but again, you'd have to accept a substantial risk of local recurrence even after the radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one would be a skin-sparing mastectomy with reconstruction.
Just cannot believe that's the treatment for something that's not even cancer.
Well, that is a problem.
Yeah.
That is a problem for sure.
Yes, it's unbelievable. I don't think people realize, you know, you say you have something that's precancerous, and to remove your breast is pretty drastic.
Well, that's why, you know, my own work and that of Dr. Silverstein and the work we did together,
mm-hmm.
all are attempting to make it more humane.
Right.
When I started this, people were throwing bricks at me because mm-hmm. they knew that if they didn't do modified radical mastectomy with full axillary dissection for DCIS, that the patient was going to die on Monday morning.
Mm.
That's what it was like in 1975.
Wow.
But in any case, you have certainly choices available to you, and you have the time to follow them through.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that if many times patients have additional questions,
mm-hmm.
and if you do, you shouldn't hesitate to either contact my office
mm-hmm.
or to email the question to me, and we'll follow through with it.
Great. Appreciate that. Thank you.
I know patients like you are going to have questions later.
Right. Well, yep, this is an ongoing...
It is an ongoing
evolving
thing.
Journey. It's just, you know... Yeah, I mean, the easy way would be to do the mastectomy, but it just doesn't feel right.
Well, at 46, you know, I can certainly understand why. Even at 76, I can understand why. But the point here is that you... Mm-hmm. You do have options other than mastectomy.
Yeah. Yes, and I appreciate the work you've done all the years, and it's peace of mind for a lot of women to have this.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so that's great. I feel very blessed. I mean, I'm not happy to be in this situation, but it's great to know that you're doing what you're doing, and it. You know, it's the unbiased opinion too, because I feel sometimes with the group of doctors that I'm seeing, it's just, you know, they don't even take into consideration the individual situation. It's just too, you're lumped into the category. This is all the option.
You get the same medication as everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
You'll find that Dr. Silverstein is a very careful, thorough, and gentle person.
Great. I appreciate it. So that is my next step.
And, all right.
Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
All right. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.